Now, on this last Sunday of Advent, or perhaps better known as we count the days that lead us to Christmas, on this Sunday with only 2 full shopping days left before Christmas Eve, our spotlight of our gospel is on Joseph, the adopted father of Jesus. And the reason why I think we're given Joseph's story this morning is to draw us back amid all the busyness of this time of year and focus on what is most important. Why this time of year is so important to each of us. Especially as we start to move in fast forward mode towards Christmas. Now, we certainly know a lot more about Mary's life than we do about Joseph. But both of them work together to fulfill the miracle of the Christmas story. And what little we do know about Joseph was that God spoke God's holy word into his heart through a series of 4 dreams. One of which we just read in our gospel reading this morning. But what I think is even more unique about Joseph is that he's just kind of an ordinary guy doing ordinary everyday things, and boom, God puts his holy word into his heart and asks Joseph to accomplish some extraordinary things for God's eternal glory. And God does the same for you and I. He catches us in our day-to-day life, and he imputes his will, his grace upon us. And he calls us to do extraordinary things for him in this world. And we know Joseph was born in Bethlehem, which also helped him to carry a birth lineage towards King David. And because Jesus was Joseph's adopted son, Jesus had birth lineage connecting him to David. And this was very important as the ancient prophets foretold this prophecy, as we heard from our Old Testament reading from Isaiah, and even the Apostle Paul in our second epistle reading affirmed this same prophecy. And amazingly, Joseph, just out of his own birthright, gives Jesus this special connection. But of course, God always requires more from us than just our credentials, right? Such as Joseph was a carpenter by trade. We also know Jesus was a carpenter, which I think leads us to believe that Joseph, not just by his own birth lineage, but moreover, Joseph was a life example to Jesus. That Joseph had great influence over Jesus. And we're told in verse 19, Joseph was a righteous man before God. And I'm sure Joseph taught Jesus how to place one's trust and faith in God the Father, which is the greatest gift we can share or give to any of our younger ones around us. They are our spiritual champions in Christ. Whether biological or adopted or our church family, our kids are extremely important to us, as we should mentor them in Sunday school and VBS and any other activity that we have. Just simply acknowledging who they are makes them feel special. And Joseph's example is very important to us because he teaches us how to give our best efforts, especially to our little ones, and how they can grow and be mentored to be spiritual champions in Christ. And so on this third Sunday of Advent, there are three important spiritual truths that I think we can grab from this gospel reading. And truths that I think are very profound to us. The first one is to consecrate. The second is to enunciate. And the third is to reciprocate. Now, I know these might sound sort of academic and maybe a little strange, but they kind of sound alike, and they'd be easy to remember. Some of you are writing it down. That's outstanding. But my hope is that the Holy Spirit will have impact upon us this morning as we reflect upon these important words. So I say, come, Holy Spirit. So as our gospel reading began, it affirmed Jesus' birth as the fulfillment of God's promise of the Messiah coming into the world. But before any of that could happen, Mary and Joseph were engaged to be wed. But Mary's physical and biological nature began to take on a whole new spiritual transformational effect by her pregnancy. Now imagine what Mary would have had to said to Joseph. Ooh, wow, Joseph, guess what? This was a big problem. As Mary was a virgin who was now pregnant with somebody else's child. Not the perfect way to begin a blissful marriage. And any act of adultery in their culture would have deemed a sinful action. Action against God's law. As it still is today. God's prescribed laws are timeless. They never change. And as much as Joseph loved Mary, he could not go against God's law. Joseph was a righteous man before God. And Joseph could not have put his own will over and against God's prescribed will. So he planned to dismiss her quietly. But here's the beginning of what makes this Christmas miracle in Jesus made manifest. When any one of us becomes filled with God's righteousness, God's love, God's mercy is always present. When any of us become filled with God's righteousness, God's mercy is always present. And this is very important for us to know. Because when God's righteousness becomes tempered with God's mercy, that's when extraordinary things begin to emerge from within us. And this requires faith on our part to allow God within our hearts to do the work of transformation that God so desperately wants to do for us. And this can happen instantaneously, or it can take on a series of causes and effects. It requires our faith, just as it did for Joseph. In a dream, an angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. Do not be afraid. We live by faith. So the first truth that we can take from this story is, of course, consecrate. When God's righteousness connects within our hearts, we experience God's mercy. And the extraordinary gift of God's mercy extended out to each of us is God's gift to us. And it takes our faith to then consecrate our hearts by yielding our will over to God's will, by accepting his gift of grace. You know, consecrate, of course, means to be set apart, for us to be set apart to be holy. The same way as we go to Holy Communion, the bread and the wine on the altar are simply bread and wine. But consecrated with God's mercy and our faith coming forward to receive this sacrament, that's where we receive the extraordinary amount of God's grace within our hearts, receiving Jesus within our hearts. And it takes faith. And when we consecrate our hearts over to God's salvation, amazing, transforming things begin to emerge within us. Our ordinary existence becomes transformed into extraordinary. Just in the same way as it did with Joseph, as he surrendered his will over to God's will. And the same thing can happen to us even today. And maybe God has placed a dream within your heart for some consecrated purpose that God wants you to serve for him. Are you willing, therefore, to trust God in your faith? Are you willing to allow God to transform your dream from ordinary into extraordinary? And this takes us to our second truth, which is to enunciate, to announce. As God wants for us to enunciate Jesus' incarnation into this world, his living and abiding presence into everything that we say and do. Not just merely with words, but through action in our faith. But first, we must speak out our faith by affirming God's salvation to all, asking God's will over everything that we do, putting his will before our own. As verse 23 informed us, as it were foretold, look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, spelled with an E, is the Greek Latin connotation, and it means God is with us. Emmanuel is our faith proclaiming that God is with us. And God continues to work out his plan of salvation within us, where the ordinary becomes extraordinary. Gift of God's grace from us to this world. But we must first claim it by speaking it out over everything. And this takes us to our third step, as we therefore take faith action in this wonderful gift of God's grace, we reciprocate God's faith by passing his faith on to others. How we live out our faith. And maybe we might think that, man, we're just not good enough to do this. We're not worthy enough to do this. I don't know enough about the Bible to be confident to do this. And I want to say, all of that is correct. When it comes to the fulfillment of God's righteousness, none of us are worthy because of our sins. Yet only God can take what is ordinary and transform us into extraordinary people to build his kingdom. Allowing God, through the Holy Spirit, to move in our lives, reciprocating God's will as our faith witness. As in verse 24, when Joseph awoke from sleep, he did. That's very powerful. He did, as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And Joseph chose to take action in his faith. When he did not know exactly where that next faith step was going to lead, he took action. And we can be encouraged to do the same. You know, faith is not faith until it is acted upon. And this goes as much for me. I mean, we can talk about faith and talk and talk and talk. But you know how that goes. Until we're willing to walk the walk, faith is not real until we carry it out. And maybe God has put a dream in your heart. And maybe you are somewhat hesitant to carry it out. We can look to Joseph's life today and be encouraged. And it's been said, God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. And God wants to continue to build his plan of salvation today through each of us. And let's allow God to take our faith and transform us from ordinary into extraordinary. This was the main purpose why Jesus came. And we will celebrate his coming once again in just 2 days from now. Let's be ready to do this. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you just as we are. And in this special time of year, may you come into our hearts and transform our will, Lord, over to yours. We thank you for the gift of grace that you extend to each of us. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.